This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm 3-Pack, now extended until the end of August. Order today at EdenPure.com and don't forget to use code word Howie3.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up, named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's The Grace Curley Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. Get on the lines now for 2A Tuesday with Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks. 844-500-4242. Also, a lot of people like to text in during this segment. I know people are busy. They're at the office. They don't want to make the call. So you can always text in your gun question, your ammo question to 63566. Start the text with the word Curley, C-U-R-L-E-Y. But we do give preference to the callers. And we will get to that in 1 minute here. But I had two quick stories I wanted to run through before we dive into another 2A Tuesday. California police find hundreds of recall ballots, guns, and drugs inside sleeping man's car. Authorities are investigating 300 unopened mail-in ballots for the upcoming recall election found inside a parked car at a convenience store in California. Inside the vehicle, the officers found a loaded handgun, some narcotics, and then they found a bunch of mail that turned out to be over 300 election ballots in the back seat of the vehicle. The man was...
We have put together, I think, the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics.
Police were called on August 16th about a man sleeping in his car around 10:45 at a 7-Eleven convenience store. They appeared to be in a box, but they were also kind of strewn throughout the back seat of the vehicle, so there was just a large portion of mail in the back seat. Police do not know how he obtained the ballots or what his intent was. This story really made me laugh because then it says, the election ballots, they were untampered with, unopened, a little over 300 of them found primarily from addresses in Lawndale. There were some from Compton. We're still trying to figure out where all of these belonged at this time, so we're working with the LA election office as well as the U.S. postal inspector. Now, the county registrar's office said, there's nothing to indicate this was focused on the election.
We may never know the motive.
There's nothing to indicate that this may have been focused on the election. There's 300 ballots in a guy's car when he has a loaded gun and drugs. What? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills here. But no, besides that, though, things are looking real good for Gavin Newsom, from what I hear, word around town. Have you ever seen those videos of people driving through, like, San Francisco? It is bleak. It really is bleak. I mean, I think Democrats and Republicans, they just want Newsom out. There's no question. And lastly here, before we move on, the 9 worst unemployment rates in the country are in areas run by...
Ron DeSantis.
No?
No?
Close, though.
Ah.
Democrats. According to new data from the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, the highest unemployment rates in July were in blue states. Nevada topped out the list with a 7.7 rate of unemployment for July, closely followed by California, then New Mexico, then New York, then Connecticut, Hawaii, New Jersey, Illinois, and the District of Columbia. All are run by Democrats. On the contrary, out of the 20 states with the lowest unemployment rates, 17 are either completely led by Republicans or lean that way. Again, you know, you can't say for certain that that has anything to do, that one has anything to do with the other, but it does make you think. And it does make you think about the red warning lights that are flashing for Democrats. Just quickly here, this is from National Review. I just wanted to read you just one update on Joe Biden's plunging approval rating in national polls. It's rebounded just slightly to 48.3% approval. The honeymoon period is over, and there's this pollster, Civics. They break out the numbers by state, which is a lot more accurate than doing it nationally. And Civics has Biden's approval rating underwater in 11 states that he carried in 2020. Plus, he is only up 2 in Washington state and up 1 in his home state of Delaware, where he was underwater 2 days ago. He's below 50% approval in New Hampshire, New Jersey, Illinois, Oregon, and Connecticut. His overall national approval is 42% approve, 50% disapprove.
Biden's losing it.
He is losing it. Yeah, and the 17 special elections this year also don't bode well for Democrats. All right, enough about that. Let's get going with 2A Tuesdays. Toby Leary, are you on the line, ready to go?
I am here.
All
right. Thanks for having me, Grace.
Now, Toby, I have some questions for you, but, you know, I always give the first pick here to the callers, and we have a lot of people on the lines. Let's go to John from Maine. If you have a question for the gun expert, Toby Leary, go ahead, John.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
And Grace, of course. my question is, okay, I have a CNR, right? And I have some firearms that I like to put on that. I've never put anything on that before. Now, do I have to make those also? Do I have to also do something for Massachusetts as well? Or can I just transfer those to my CNR?
Now, Toby, before you answer this, can you say it one more time for us,
yeah,
Toby, so we can all get what we're getting here?
Yeah, sure. So it's a good question. And it was John, right?
Yes.
John has is a CNR license, which is a Type 3 FFL, and it stands for Curio and Relics. So it's a license that's specific to collecting firearms. So if you have what's known as a FFL, it's a federal firearms license. This is a license that's issued by the feds, but it's specifically for collectors. So you're not in business to deal with firearms, buying and selling firearms. You're basically buying them for collecting purposes. So there's a much lower threshold on how to get it than, say, a Type 1 FFL, which is like a gun store. So you don't get, like, reviewed by the ATF and stuff like that, but it helps collectors. And basically what qualifies a gun as a curio and relic is it's either on a list that's issued by the ATF or it's over 50 years old. So if the gun is over 50 years old, it's considered a CNR or a curio and relic. And then you can buy that gun basically through the mail or at a gun store. And you don't need to do a background check. You just produce your CNR license and basically you hand the gun over to that person. And what he says is he has to put it on his book. So he has some guns that he wants to put under his CNR license. So he has to log them into his what's known as a bound book. And that is subject to inspection by the ATF should they call him and want to see that book. So there's no other requirements you have to do, John. You can go ahead and log them basically into your bound book, and then you just keep them on the bound book until you decide to sell them someday or if you personally want to take possession of them again. You can, you know, basically, quote-unquote, sell them to yourself. But, yeah, there's nothing you need to do in Massachusetts either for that requirement. So, You're good to go. Just put them right on your bound book.
All right, let's go to another John, Toby, just before we have to go to break. John, mm-hmm. You're next with Toby and Grace. What's your question for Toby, John?
How you doing? If you're going from Massachusetts, if you're a Massachusetts resident who may have a place in Maine, can you just jump in your car and drive here without any problems as far as carrying a gun?
From Massachusetts to Maine?
Yes.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. If you're licensed in Massachusetts, you're good to go in Maine because they are now a constitutional carry state. The only law that requires you to do anything is if you get pulled over, you must disclose that you have a firearm to the officer who stops you. So, but other than that, you're good to go as long as you're not prohibited in your own state. Maine is a constitutional carry state. Maine, New Hampshire, and Vermont, they're all constitutional carry states. The way it should be. The way life should be, right?
Yes. All right. So Toby's 2 for 2 so far. 2 easy questions and very informative.
Softballs.
Yes. We're just getting Toby warmed up here. 844-500-4242. I'll remind you again, if you want to text in, I see some people already using the text line here. 63566. Start your gun text with the word curly, C-U-R-L-E-Y. If you have questions on guns, ammo, range shooting, licensing, whatever it may be, now's the time to ask. 844-500-4242. Let's load up the lines now and we'll get right back to them on the other side. It's true what they say at Perfect Smiles. Change your smile, change your life. I saw the change with Howie and with the mailroom manager. They both say that the only thing they wish Everything was perfect. You know, Dr. Bruce Houghton, the staff, the place, perfect smiles in general, getting there, the parking, everything's fabulous. The only thing they regret is not doing it sooner because they're so proud of their smiles and they're so happy they did it. If you talk to Howie, you know that. But you can also go to their website and watch a lot of video testimonials of people who will show you exactly how much they appreciate the work of Dr. Bruce Houghton and how much it really changed their life. I mean, your smile is a big part of your everyday life and you don't want to take it for granted. You want to be proud of it. You want to smile big and bright. And so I highly recommend everyone go to their website, perfectsmiles.com. Check out the video testimonials. I actually went to Perfect Smiles for a teeth cleaning and it was the best teeth cleaning I'd ever had. The staff there is amazing. Everyone makes you feel right at home. Just really top notch place to go. Parking is free. The staff is awesome. And if you've been wanting to upgrade your look for years, this is your sign. Contact them today and look at their video testimonials. Go to perfectsmiles.com. That's perfectsmiles.com. Change your smile, change your life. I see you guys already hopping on the lines. It's a smart move. They fill up fast with Toby Leary. 844-500-4242. Two-way Tuesdays continues till the end of the hour. We'll be right back. It's the Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. She's the friend you never knew you needed.
What? Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
Okay, make that best friend. It's Grace Curley.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. If you're dying to call in and ask Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks about your gun or your ammo or licensing or shooting at a gun range, now's the time to ask your question, and you can ask it on the air. 844-500-4242. We got a lot of callers right now looking to talk to Toby, so we don't want to waste any time. Let's go right to Mark. You're next with Toby and Grace. What's your question, Mark?
Hi, good afternoon, Grace.
Hi.
My question is, almost 40 years ago, I was charged with a felony, and I cannot get an LTC to carry. Are there any laws being changed in the state of Massachusetts? It used to be a 5-year period, and then now it's in perpetuity for a felony.
That's a good question. Toby, what do you know about that?
Yeah, I think if you have a felony or you've been charged with a crime, that you can be in prison for more than, I believe it's 2.5 years. It might be 2 years. I can't quite remember. It's a little confusing when you get from state to feds. But if you could be in prison for longer than those periods of time, then you're ineligible to get your license to carry. And, you know, unfortunately, if you kind of do the time and it's a nonviolent felony, I don't see why they would cut you off from owning a firearm forever. It's, you know, I'm sure once you pay your debt to society, you've put a 40-year history of good upstanding service to your community without, you know, recommitting felonies, you should have your rights restored. But I don't think that's even being discussed right now within the legislature. In fact, I don't even suspect that'll be proposed anytime soon. But, you know, that doesn't mean you have to be an unarmed victim. Mark, you can also, you know, take other classes of self-defense. You can get pepper spray now without a license. And I would just note that being armed is a mindset more than carrying a tool or a weapon. So, you know, don't be a victim just because you can't carry a gun. So, or move to a state that you can. I hate that, you know, piece of advice, because I hear it all the time from people outside of Massachusetts, just move, you know, and it's not a good piece of advice. But frankly, if it means that much to you, I would look at that. But
all right. Thank you, Toby. Yeah. Good answer. Let's go to Paul. Paul, you're next with Toby and Grace. What's your question, Paul?
Yeah. How you doing, Toby? I was calling to find out about the marijuana dispensaries in Massachusetts, if recreational drug use, and if you have a license to carry in the state of Mass, how, you know, when you go there, they ask for your driver's license and they scan it. I was just wondering how that would affect your license to carry.
We get this, Toby, once a week almost.
Yeah, it's a very popular question. And so if, you know, marijuana, for instance, is prohibited federally. So if you are a recreational user or even a medicinal user of marijuana in the state of Massachusetts, when you fill out the 4473 form to purchase a new gun, you have a question that asks if you're an illegal user of marijuana. And if you answer no, then you're committing perjury, which could put everything in jeopardy going forward. And if you say yes, then you're going to be immediately disqualified from the purchase right there on the spot. So you're in a little catch-22. My suggestion would be to stop using marijuana recreationally and maybe look at an alternative like a CBD oil or something like that that could help with whatever, you know, medicinal reasons or whatever. But, you know, unfortunately, in this day and age, you can go out to the package store and buy booze and then, you know, do whatever you want with that. And you don't, you're not prohibited from purchasing a gun. But if you do use marijuana recreationally or for medicinal reasons, you're going to be a prohibited person on the federal level. That doesn't necessarily mean you have to surrender your license to carry. And if you own guns, you know, I don't think that'll cause any issues with that, but it'll just prohibit you from purchasing any new ones. So good luck with that one.
Well, Toby, 603 actually writes in, I live in New Hampshire and my wife, if my wife goes and gets a medical marijuana card, does that mean that I'm not able to own guns due to her having a card?
Doesn't necessarily mean you're not able to own them if you already own them. It just means that, and no, it wouldn't, because you're like, you personally would not be affected by your wife.
Right.
And if your wife had that card, it would just prohibit her from purchasing next time she goes. So, and I've had friends that have had medical marijuana cards that have surrendered them so that they are no longer a prohibited person and they can continue to purchase firearms. They felt that was more important to them than the treatment they were getting, and they sought an alternative treatment for their illness. So I think this is all going to change in the next few years, because there's certainly a growing movement to make marijuana not be an illegal drug, you know, federally. So
yes, I would agree.
Until that happens, though, you're in that catch-22.
You're even hearing some Supreme Court justices talk about that right now. So I agree with you. Let's go to Sean. Sean, we're going to get one more question in before the break. What is your question for Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks?
Yeah, just pretty much how easy is it, or how hard is it in Massachusetts to get guns that are now prohibited from a family member who passes away?
Yeah. So let me just make sure I understand the question. You want to acquire the firearms from the family member that was passed away? Is that what you said?
They haven't passed away yet. A friend of mine was asking that, and her grandfather has a rather large collection. And they'll be, hopefully not for a while, but they're trying to figure that out, because it is a big thing for him and something he cares about.
If they could do the transfer ahead of time, it might be a little bit easier, because you could do it right through a gun store could do the transfer. You're only allowed to transfer 4 guns per year personally, but if they do pass away, then you can register the guns on an inheritance form on the, if you go to the Mass approved, what is it called? It's the EFA-10, the gun transaction portal. So you Google EFA-10, it'll bring you to that. You select inheritance. You'll need to know the deceased person's LTC number and PIN number. So I'd make sure they have possession of that. And so once they do pass away, if they're the rightful person to inherit them, they can put that in there and then register the guns in their name. So that's the best way to do it.
All right, another great answer from Toby Leary. We appreciate all the calls. We almost have full lines again going into the next segment, which makes me thrilled. 844-500-4242. We also have a lot of people texting in currently to 63566. A lot of good questions here that we will get to. Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks is with us for one more segment, so don't go anywhere. This is the Grace Curley Show.
live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Welcome back to 2A Tuesdays with Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks in Hyannis. We will get right back to your calls in 1 minute, but first let's do the poll question. Today's poll question is brought to you by Exit Realty. With over 25 locations in New England, they have you covered. To learn more about their innovative technology that gets your house sold, go to exitrealty.com/New England. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Will the Democrats pass their $1 trillion boondoggle?
No, I don't think they will.
51% of the audience says no.
Oh, good poll question.
49% believe yes.
All right, let's go right to the calls here, and I do have to roll through some of these texts we're getting. We're getting a lot of questions via text, so we will get to those as well. But first, let's go to Joey. You're next with Grace and Toby. Go ahead, Joey.
Hi, Grace. Great show. I've been listening to you since day one and a long time listening to our house.
Thank you so much.
Great job. The question I have for Toby is, I have, you know, several guns, different gauges, shotguns, handguns, but I was wondering about for home defense, the 12 gauge. Now that'll definitely go through walls, whether you have a slug or if you have a buckshot in it. So I was thinking about going to a 410, just a home, like a Henry Axe 410 for the home, short and easy to move.
I love 410 gauge shotguns for home defense for exactly the reasons you were just, you know, describing, because it's certainly buckshot or slugs continue to go through multiple layers of walls and whatnot. 410 gauge is certainly a great round for personal protection in a buckshot or even a, you know, like a number one buckshot or even a type of waterfowl load where it's a little bit smaller BBs, but you get more in it. And yeah, they're excellent. They're definitely not as powerful, not going to go through as many layers, and they'll still, you know, stop a threat. And great, great choice. The Henry Axe is a little hard to get because it's not considered a shotgun. It's considered a pistol. And so in this state, it's tough to get a shotgun with a barrel less than 18 and a half inches. But yeah, they'd be a great choice. And I've even proposed to some people having like an AR upper in 410 gauge on their rifles as well. So I'm a big fan of it for home defense. And yeah, I think you'll be in good shape if you get one.
Now, Toby 781 writes in, "Hi, Grace and Toby. I plan to transfer my pistol to a relative in Hawaii. Does the FFL do everything or do I have to register the transfer on the Mass portal?"
No, you don't need to do anything. Once it's logged into the FFL's books, then you're off the hook. So I would just go ahead and pack it up and ship it right to the FFL. Now, some FFLs, and Hawaii might be one of the states that requires it be sent from an FFL, but it's not a requirement federally, but it might be by the state. So you just want to check with them whether you can pack it up and ship it directly to the FFL or if it has to go from another gun store here in Massachusetts. So, but yeah, it's easy. Just send it right to them and they'll take care of everything.
All right, Jason, you're next with Toby and Grace. Go ahead, Jason.
Hey, good afternoon, Grace. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
About 6 years ago, I was charged with a DUI in New Hampshire. Now, I'm a Mass resident. I have been my whole life. I was just wondering if that would disqualify me from getting my Mass LTC.
I don't know if just a simple charge could disqualify you. It depends how many, you know, years you could have been imprisoned if you were convicted. And there's also a cutoff date of when the DUI became a felony. And I'm not sure what that date is, but I believe it was somewhere around 2004. So you might be out of luck in that, you know, end of things. But I would check in with an attorney on that. And there's a couple of great Second Amendment attorneys in the state. Jason Guida and Keith Langer are a couple that come to mind, and Andrew Kucher as well. And they can help you with that. And they'll be able to tell you right off the top of their head whether they can help you get your, you know, rights restored or not. So that's what I would do.
All right. Thank you. Thanks for the call, Jason. Now, Toby, before I go to the other callers, where can people listen to your show and hear more about all of your expertise?
Yeah, so we do a show every Saturday night called Rapid Fire. It's on WXDK, WRKO, and WCRN. They all play at different times. Most of the shows are broadcast at between 7 and 8 on Saturday night on WXDK, and WCRN is now in the morning on Saturday morning, and on WRKO on Sunday. So you can also go to the podcast, which is go to CapeConWorks.com, click on Rapid Fire, get signed up, and we'll send you a text or a notification whenever we're going to be broadcasting live. And you can listen in and have your questions answered and be a part of the show. And we also have a live remote this Friday with Grace Curley and Howie Carr.
Yes, I'm glad you brought that up. We're so excited. Yeah. This is our last big summertime remote, I think. So make sure everyone come check it out. We'll be there Friday from 12 to 6. It's going to be a great time. Cape Gun Works always is. We always have a fun crowd. Sometimes people bring goodies, some snacks, some treats, and we always have a fun time. You can go to the range. I always beat Howie in our shooting competition. That goes without saying. But it's going to be a blast, so make sure you check that out. All right, Toby, we got a few more people to get through here. Let's go to Joe. You're next with Toby Leary from Cape Gun Works. What's your question, Joe?
Well, hi, I hope I'm the right Joe.
Yes, you are. Go ahead.
Excuse me. Okay. First of all, I'd like to say I'm 79 years old. I'm a retired military vet, and I was in the military police and qualified on both a 45 pistol and an M14 rifle. I have never applied for a permit. I have a 100% clean record. What's my chances of applying for a permit to carry?
Well, first of all, thank you for your service, and I appreciate all the sacrifice that you made for our country and also as a military police officer. But you're well within your rights to exercise your rights, so go ahead and take that class. You got to take a 4-hour mandatory class in the state of Massachusetts and pay a fee and then subject yourself to background checks and fingerprinting and photographing. And after you do all that and jump through all those hoops, you'll be able to then exercise your Second Amendment in this wonderful state where freedom was founded. Mm-hmm. And I know it doesn't sound like it's the most free state in the union anymore, but that's what you got to do in order to exercise your God-given rights here in the People's Republic of Massachusetts. So,
all right, Toby, I'm going to go to thank you, Joe, for the call. I'm going to ask you another texter here really quick before we go to the last call. 603 says, we live in New Hampshire and have a relative in Mass that wants to gift my 14-year-old a hunting shotgun. Do we need to do anything to make this legal?
Well, in the state of New Hampshire, I don't know what the state law requirements are, but I believe federally you can't just give a 14-year-old a gun, so the parent is still going to be the owner of the gun. And when, you know, they can certainly take it afield or take it to the range and shoot it under the correct supervision, you know, whenever they want. Like my daughter, who's 12, has a couple of handguns that she would probably call her own, but legally she can't own them until she's 21 and I maintain possession of them, so she doesn't have unauthorized access to them without my, you know, supervision. So basically it's just, you know, in word more than deed. But once they can legally obtain those firearms, you can certainly just hand them over. I believe in the state of New Hampshire, there's not much you have to do other than, you know, make sure they're not a prohibited person. So, and you'd know that about your own son or daughter. So, yeah, that's no problem at all. It's just one of the guns in the family until they can legally possess it.
All right, let's go to the last caller here. Mick, you're next with Grace and Toby. What's your question for Toby, Mick?
Thanks for getting me in. Love the show. Okay. Hey, Toby, my question is, I live in Massachusetts. I have my LTC. And a couple years ago, my neighbor, who's also a shooter and loves skeet and trap, gave me an over-under shotgun. It's an old one, but he gave it to me. I asked him, what should I do? What do I do to make it legal? He said, it's so old, don't worry about it. I'm like,
yeah.
Floor is yours.
Well, the best thing, no, it's a great question. And, you know, if you want to make it right, just jump on the EFA-10 website. There's nothing that says he can't lend you that gun indefinitely. But, you know, really to make it your gun, I would just jump on that EFA-10 website, have him and you. It'll take all of 5 minutes. You just need your PIN number and your LTC number and then the serial number and the shotgun information. And then you can just go ahead and do the transfer right there. There's no fee. And it literally takes 5 minutes, so there's really no reason not to do it. So,
all right,
make it legal.
Now, Toby, before I let you go, I have one question that seems a little wacky, but I don't think in today's world it's that crazy. So I'm going to ask you it, all right? It says, can police chiefs make up rules and say no jab, no LTC? It could be a reality in cities that won't give them, which by itself is illegal. So basically, I think what he's trying to get at is, could this, you know, mandatory jab start affecting people getting their gun licenses?
Wow, it's something I hadn't thought of yet, but I
hope we didn't give anyone any ideas.
Yeah, I know, really. Let's keep this to ourselves here. Don't tell anyone. But, you know, the police are given a lot of discretion in order to, you know, restrict the license. So he might be able to say, well, you're not going to get an unrestricted license or something to that effect. But I believe that he ultimately will have to issue the license because we are a shall issue state. But he could restrict it and make it not the license you're hoping for. So for that reason, you might have to go over his head and appeal it, but they could certainly make your life a little bit miserable in that regard. Hopefully that doesn't happen, but could be in theory, I guess.
Anything is possible in 2021.
Yeah.
Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks, thank you so much for joining the show. If people want to check you guys out online, Toby, where do they go?
Go to capegunworks.com and you can sign up for a class, you can shop online, and you can also join the range, become a member, or just get some good information about us. And we're open 7 days a week, so we'd love to have you in the store.
All right, and definitely check it out Friday, guys, because Howie and I will be there from 12 to 6. It's going to be a really fun day, really fun remote, so make sure you get yourselves to Cape Gunworks and Hyannis. All right, I will be right back with Howard Lawrence Carr. Don't go anywhere. This is the Grace Curley Show.
You can call her late for dinner. Just don't call her Gracie. It's the Grace Curley Show. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Shock poll shows Biden's approval plummeting. I'm not shocked. I wouldn't even call that a spoiler alert. We all could see that one happening. I mean, when Chuck Todd, you know, when Jake Tapper, when those people start to say this isn't good, maybe you know something's up. All right. So
what's that all about?
A lot of people are asking me to play some sound that I had teased earlier and never got to. So your wish is my command. I did find this interesting. Bill Maher has been on a little bit of a streak. He's been having good guests on his show, Ben Shapiro, to name a few. And he's been talking about booster shots recently. And I think his recent comments are going to really surprise a lot of liberals. Let's first, he talks about getting the vaccine. This is cut 38.
I mean, I don't want a booster. I never wanted the vaccine. I took one for the team. And by the way, you know who doesn't get a lot of vaccines? The millennials. I know a lot of millennials, especially the 20-year-olds. They don't want it. They don't want it. They don't think they need it. They're probably right. But I tell them, I didn't want it either. I took one for the team.
Now listen to what he says about the booster shot. Cut 39.
Maybe I don't need one. I don't want a one-size-fits-all. My body may be different than your body.
Yeah, I lost you, man. That's crazy. Look,
my body isn't different. Everybody's body isn't somewhat different. I just read the statistics about who dies from it.
The immediate pushback from people, if you start questioning the settled science that continues to evolve, is really amazing. And now they're talking booster shots when a lot of people haven't even gotten the vaccine and they're already moving on to booster shots. It's pretty crazy, don't you think, Howie?
I do. I saw that the Hill had a story today that 400,000 people fewer or died that were on Social Security last year, which was a huge increase. But once again, all that proves is that the people who were dying from COVID were very elderly, you know? And again, the average death rate in Massachusetts is now up to 82.5 years. And, the spiking, surging cases, you know, they have to mask the kids. Did you see how many people died over the weekend in Massachusetts?
Zero.
Four.
Four.
That's 3 days, right? Four people in 3 days. I mean, there's 7 million people in this state. The best day in the world is going to be one or two people dying, right?
Right.
So why are the kids going to have to wear masks?
No, you're absolutely right. Did you see Carol Markowitz's piece in the New York Post?
Because
there was a part of it that I thought was really incredible. In the LA Times, Michael Hilzik argues that the unvaccinated should pay more for health care. But not all of the unvaccinated, of course. Just the gross Republican kind he hates. Now, this is the quote. There are pockets of vaccine skepticism in Black and Latino communities where distrust of the government is widespread and vaccine access is wanting. Education and outreach programs must work to boost vaccination rates among those communities.
What about that guy Michael Hayden, the former head of the CIA and the NSA? He agreed with a tweet that everyone who's not vaccinated, meaning Republicans, should be sent to Kabul. And that's what he said. This guy is supposedly a Republican, and he was one of those anti-Trump Republicans who endorsed Biden last year that we were talking about, and now he doesn't seem to care. There's a higher percentage of Republicans vaccinated than Democrats. I mean, I don't care one way or the other. You know, do it or don't do it, whatever you want. It's whatever floats your boat. But you know, why are they pretending that this is just a Trump deplorable problem?
Yeah, and it really is sick to see when someone dies of COVID who's a Republican or who maybe didn't get the shot.
Yeah, like Phil Valentine in Nashville.
These liberals, these blue check marks, they jump for joy.
Yeah.
It's really ghoulish.
Yeah, Martina Navratilova. I was just starting to feel good about her. You know, she was coming out against the transgender male athletes, competing in women's sports. And now she's going nuts because Phil Valentine, who I doubt she even knew who the hell he was until she read it online, is dead.
And like, no matter what your politics are, no matter how good you think your political argument is, it's always a bad look to celebrate someone dying. That's just a hot tip for people out there. You never look good in that situation. Let's play Virginia Governor Terry McAuliffe. He's talking about making it difficult.
You mean former Governor McAuliffe.
Former
right?
Governor McAuliffe. Yeah. He's talking about making it difficult for unvaccinated people to get on planes, cut two.
We have 93 million Americans today that are Northam? Not vaccinated. And we need to Northam do everything that McAuliffe? We possibly can. I tell my private businesses all the time, I hope you mandate vaccines for people coming. Until we make it hard for people to get on planes or go to movie theaters, people just aren't going to do it.
How about we make it hard for people to cross the border, especially if they're just planning to go on welfare and don't speak English? How about we make it hard for them to
You better watch your microaggressions, bro!
To cross the border.
That just feels xenophobic.
Sorry about that.
All right, guys, Howie has a great show coming up. Don't go anywhere. And also make sure you check out our remote on Friday at Cape Gunworks from 12 to 6. We'll be there. It's going to be a lot of fun. This is The Grace Curley Show.